space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
It is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop. Children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. A field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street singing songs and carrying signs. Mostly say hooray for our sides. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Strikes deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop. Children, what's that sound?
The preacher man says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a gold dry. Is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, a woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. Grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those women more boys raised on shotguns. We say grace and we say ma'am. If you ain't into that, we don't give a damn. From the West Virginia coal mines, hills and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. And we can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures of the Broadway nights, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beach nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, 'cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. North California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land. And we can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
0, blast off!
God's name is going on in here. What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
Everybody, there is a plethora of hydrogen and oxygen molecules emanating from the sky in the form of precipitation, otherwise known as rain. You're listening to Mad Science, which is Ziz, and we got Thomas on here, and Larry, and Cultus, and so, with that said, let's see if we can melt some brains today. One of the not-so-secret secrets of my research is slamming the high-voltage DC and the high-voltage AC. Can you guys think of anything that could be used for?
NOS, disruption of a magnetic field.
Yeah.
warp drive technology?
Warp drive.
seriously, that's what they're doing at NASA. The warp drive technology that they're working on now and the warp drives they're building for their testing are just really exceptionally high voltage capacitors.
Uh-huh.
And the fluctuation or you know, basically controlling an oscillating wave of high voltage is pretty much how they're going to have to go about creating an ultra-thin warp bubble so that they don't have to waste all the energy that they were initially looking at in order to move ships around.
I like the way you guys think. There must have been a reason why I was hanging around you guys all this time.
I mean, I'm not just a pretty face. Come on.
Okay.
I like the accent too.
I'll try to pretend I didn't hear that portion.
It was like Darden wasn't here, mate. Wouldn't have ended there.
All right. Well, anyway, yeah, that's...
So, just going back to what Thomas was saying about the NASA warp drive they're playing around with, is that by any chance I was linked something during the week? Is it a set of disc-like coils?
The one that NASA's working on?
They're not giving a whole lot of information out. The most important thing, though, is that the main guy that's working on it is actually developing and working with a technology that allows him to actually, you know, gather data from the warp drive that they're the field that it's putting out, so that they can actually, you know, start learning about what they're doing and how it's affecting the warp field itself. Because without that knowledge, to properly construct a warp drive will be impossible. I mean, you know, just shooting in the dark like that.
Well, if you
don't have another Tesla laying around that basically can, you know, jump up there and figure this out in his head and just, you know, go ahead and build it.
Well, if you go back in my videos, I told everybody I'm going to show the world how to get from point A to point B in such a fast rate. It's ludicrous. It's in one of my videos. And...
Ludicrous, but not plaid.
Yeah, well, I want to go plaid, man. I think that'd be
never,
cool.
Never go full plaid, man.
I'm telling you, if somebody buys me a set of bell-bottom plaid pants with freaking those old Mork and Mindy suspenders...
Calling Mama now, man. I'm sending her home to beat
you. I'll wear them.
I'll say, wait, bell-bottom plaid pants?
Yeah,
I know. It just...
Well, I was going to say, don't they already have those? I think they're called...
I had respect for him at the start of the show.
I don't know, but that's... bell-bottoms and plaid's like two separate generations, man. So that'd be like a clash of societies. Anyway, I'm just kidding.
Only a dude with that head, honey.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say, Thomas, only a dude with that hair is going to wear bell-bottom plaid.
Yeah.
It's a kilt!
Yeah, there you go.
It's one single bell-bottom in plaid. Oh,
looks like a dress to me. Anyway.
I'm the golf tops to go with it.
Anyway.
You're going to get him a red wig?
Plasma technology... plasma technology and high voltage AC and high voltage DC got a lot of potential. Now, I've sat there and I've watched some of these Corona motors here recently, and there's one that uses neon bulbs, and I'm extremely impressed with it. And this one that this atmospheric motor that what's that guy's name?
You got it again.
Huh?
That's a plasma motor. That's a different. Yeah,
hear me out, man. God,
talking about the two wires.
Can't we all just get along?
Coming off either end.
It's like an ion drive motor. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like an ion drive motor, and essentially static motors and ion drives and all of them. They got a little bit of something in common going on. Anyway, what I was trying to say...
Yeah, hey, listen, man, I think... Well, I'll say, just to clarify...
You're going to kill my thoughts.
Let me get the thought out, then we'll correct it.
Just hold it. The Atmo motor is just basically allowing you to use the static before it has to reach a plasma state.
Yes, and I understand
that. But it really looks like it's using it the same way. It's still using it the same way, so...
I'm right there with you, brother. And I'm gonna
go for it.
Okay, so let's launch into it then. What were you saying now?
Okay, now I can't even remember the name of the guy's video that I just put up to put up the really awesome atmospheric motor that has a lot of torque to it.
That is rimstar.org.
Okay, rimstar.org. I put a link to the video in the chat room. Now, that's really impressive, and we'll get back to that later because everybody knows that the static motors, atmospheric motors, you know, you got to have them so precise because otherwise they won't start turning, you know. And so, with that said, this other guy that uses the neon bulbs to make the ion drive version or plasma motor, whichever you want to call it, if you watch that video, I didn't put a link in there, but I think I put one last week in there, but that thing is getting some serious RPMs for a Corona motor. And
yeah.
The Corona that's putting off of there, it makes a really beautiful pattern because you can see the Corona spinning around. And you can also see the neon in the bulb, I mean, in full plasma state. It's lit up. I mean, so it makes a really awesome pattern. But that wasn't what impressed me. What impressed me was the amount of RPMs that he was getting out of this thing. And I would love to put a meter on that just to see exactly how fast this thing was turning. But it was impressive enough on video, so I'm positive that it was moving pretty doggone good. Then also,
the things get up and go.
Yeah. Then also, I saw another video that was a two-wire setup that had the deals going in the opposite direction. So this guy literally had the bottom one going counterclockwise and the other one going counterclockwise at the same time. So there were some pretty cool anomalies between these three videos that led me to believe that we could combine all of these things, including the Wimshurst style generation, you know, with the high static buildup charges. You know that once you get anything that's in a vacuum argon field or even like the fluorescent bulbs, that once you get it anywhere in the field, that you'll start energizing that gas inside that bulb and getting it into the plasma state. And so imagine cramming all of this into one engine that is literally built in a vacuum. That's the hardest part that I can see of this deal would be for the shaft to come out the other side and still be able to be sealed and maintain a vacuum. I can't remember. I think it was Thomas that told me about some really awesome seals that are like up to like 400 or 500 degrees or something like that. I can't remember. But if you could get this accomplished, you could literally build a motor that once you got this thing up to speed, I'm not saying to the full extent that it would actually maintain itself, because, you know, then you're getting into zero point and all that kind of stuff. What I'm saying is that you could get this thing up to enough energy to where the coil surrounding the engine itself would literally be feeding more energy back into that thing and assisting it at the very least. What do you guys think?
Yeah, no, that's exactly what I've said I'm going for with the atmospheric motor combination with the Wimshurst generator. It's going to get us past lens force. That's a plus. We do have an opposite hurdle, the yet to be named opposites attracting issue. And but yeah, I mean, I see at the very least an efficiency rise. But in saying that, I mean, we're talking an efficiency rise on something that we're taking from the air for free. So what's the coefficiency of input power? Naught.
Yeah. Well,
okay.
Here's...
I don't think there's a number for that. Is it infinity? Like...
Well, like I say, I want to walk on eggshells when I talk about over-unity, because then, you know, it's like a whole different bird there. We're talking about free energy, exactly what you said, getting the energy for free to begin with, and so...
That's right.
Anyway...
We're essentially giving energy that's already there a path to ground, which is what all energy, like all voltage seeks, is a path to ground, so...
I have one...
Just giving it somewhere to go.
I have one brilliant individual that has contacted me recently that he's the very first one out of all my subscribers on my YouTube channel that figured out what it was that I was doing with my plasma reactor. Of course, now he's got some other ideas now that I sparked those ideas off in his head how to do this externally. But the reason why I brought up the high voltage DC and the high voltage AC colliding, anyway, we had probably about a good 4-hour conversation about technology, and he's actually duplicated my oldest version of the plasma reactor and had called me up to talk about different things that how it was wired and what I was doing with certain things. And so we sat there and discussed it for quite some time, and what impressed me the most about, outside of the knowledge that he had, was that he understood what it was that I was doing with the plasma reactor in order to take... when you think back about the mercury arc rectifier, essentially what a mercury arc rectifier is like a diode. It's like a, it changes the high voltage AC into DC. And so if you're creating a DC current and you're actually feeding an AC current in it at the same time, when those two collide, you get a pretty cool effect going on in there. You guys follow me so far?
Yep.
Well, anyway, he figured that portion out, and that's the reason why I went to the one that I called the gas-filled Tesla coil, because when you build that pressure up, that pressure's got to go somewhere. It's going to go up one or the other sides of that that tubing, and then eventually work its way back down in. Now, keep in mind, I'm still feeding high-voltage AC into this thing. And so when those two pressurize and come down and slam into each other, that's where you see in the video where the brightness of the plasma in there just goes crazy. I mean, the voltage spike on that is just it's amazing. I actually lit myself up a few times messing with that doggone thing, but that's all part of mad science. Anyway, I'm thinking that with this Corona motor, the atmosphere motor, the Wims-Hurst style, and we could probably, even if we made it with the right size styles of material, actually throw into some of the Van de Graaff information as well. And you're talking about moving around a whole lot of energy in a short...
Well, this is something we certainly want to look into and muck around a bit with a 3D printer, because it can print a bunch of different materials. Is looking at materials with different give me a word, Thomas. Turboelectric effect.
Oh, the
triboelectric.
Like he's talking about the styrofoam and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Like literally make one wheel out of styrofoam and make the other wheel out of.
No, not making one wheel. Make one wheel that each face, one face is styrene coated, the other side is urethane coated.
There you go.
That way there's...
This is why we keep Thomas around, as is.
Yeah.
Right? You keep us around for our brains. I certainly keep him around for his brains. And come on, what am I here for?
Comically.
Why did everyone go silent? That's that. Well, no, I had an instant answer.
Sorry, my dog wanted outside.
Which?
My dog, he wanted outside.
Didn't hear what I said?
No. I still didn't.
I'm not going to beat it.
You're all right. Nasty. It must not be radio friendly then. That's good. Hey, don't repeat it.
I own it. I own it. No, it wasn't radio.
Anyway, I see a whole lot of potential in here, man, and I keep seeing all these other videos out there with people working on similar ideas, and watching that video that Russ was, somebody posted in there that Russ went to that convention, and listening to these guys talk about frequencies and stuff, man, I'm telling you, if we could get the right crew in the right doggone shop at the same time, everybody's questions would be answered. There's no doubt in my mind.
You know, I mean, between all of us, we have developed a huge network. I don't know if you guys are quite aware of how large the network actually goes. But I was doing some analytics and stuff the other day with my Google and also my LinkedIn. There's a way to do that, people. Anyway.
Well, you can use Google or Yahoo Pipes to do that, too.
Nah.
Feed it out to like an RSS feed or whatever, RSS feed.
You'd be surprised. I can count I have access to 1.8 million people. That's a lot of people who are actually interested in free energy. Like, when you really sit back and think about it, like, give us 10 years ago.
Well, I get frustrated.
On people's understanding of what it is that they're after. I mean, if you could give people a cell phone battery they never had to plug in and charge up again, everybody would be interested in that.
Yeah.
So everybody is interested in it. You just have direct contact to people who are aware that they're actually interested in it.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
Yeah.
Aware of the situation and that situation, you know, we draw back to Tesla, don't we? You know, the first mad suppression of technology that left us in want and need of energy for, you know, over 100 years now since.
Well, I get really frustrated.
Because a few bikes wanted to be greedy.
I get really frustrated because, you know, like, my craftsman skills, they reek. I mean, I sat there trying to build a atmospheric motor yesterday out of a couple pill bottles, and, you know, it moves, but it ain't moving whenever you put energy to it.
I think it's time Russ Grease sent you a present.
I'd like to have
Russ, if you're listening, dude, you're going to do some 3D printing for me soon.
I'd like to have at least one of those or one like Rimstar built, because
that's the one that I'm in need of putting together. It has a much larger capacitance. I'm looking at it. I'm looking at it with the coupling of a Wimshurst generator and these Atmo motors. This is something Dyden and I sort of stumbled over together at the same time in a Skype call. Was, and no one else has mentioned this, so I don't want to see hands go up at the end of this going, oh, I knew that. No, you didn't.
Well, my point,
the motors themselves will replace the condensers in the setup. But there's this one's mine. I was figuring this the other day while I was having a little play with it, because, as you know, it's still in a Wimshurst generator form, but I was able to play with it. Wind down times I was looking at with my motor, we need that spark dump still there, but I don't think it needs to be a spark dump. I think, I could be wrong, but I think we need a leakage point not too dissimilar from exactly how a lightning rod works. Mm. In the same part of the circuit is where it currently is, where your breakout point is, your two little balls you bring together on your Wimshurst generator. Not too far, you know, too dissimilar, but yeah, I think actually the exact same place in the circuit. And it'd be very interesting to see what we get. What I found was that having that breakout, if you could control it, for me it was only happening on the odd occasion here and there, because I just happened to get the crack, you know, the little spark that I was releasing on just the right amount of energy going, you know, sort of like Tesla playing with his knife switch. But I figured that I could actually get it to run down longer by stealing a bit of energy out of the system.
Well, have you thought about maybe using a variable capacitor? Because you can actually use capacitors to time out circuits by the size of them. And
actually, that brings me to another point. I was, as you know, I was in a fight with the Nikola Tesla Foundation during the week. That was fun. Dumb bastards don't even know the patent. But anyway, I was taking another look at that patent. Now, I can figure out, well, just about everything is on that patent, and I have for a long time. As you know, there's a video out there of Shaziz Kent and myself, I believe, discussing the patent in great detail, and a bit of mucking around, because we just can't control ourselves. But there was something that always sort of struck me with that third coil, I could not figure how it was coupling into the circuit the way it was. Now I'm starting to wonder if it's more of a choke. And Larry's our coil expert, so I wonder what he thinks of that theory. Are you familiar with the patent I'm referring to, Larry?
Yes, sir, I believe so.
It's the center most cylindrical coil, narrowest coil. I believe it's.
Yeah.
I want to say it's marked by a capital B and a dash, but that's not. That's the harmonically tuned steel rod that Tesla Society guys couldn't answer for me. But anyway,
well, that harmonically tuned steel rod was the first wah-wah stick in synthesized music.
Yeah, there you go.
And yeah, once your linear coils, I'm really enjoying the tapered linear coil in a hexagonal shape. That seems to put out some strange fields that are easily adapted to plasma.
Oh, speaking of fields, I got to tell you about an experiment that I did using the bismuth.
Oh, you do that just while I'm just going to pull out this patent so we can all look at this patent together.
All right, well, anyway, I wound a couple coils using some recycled wire, obviously, but I put them in between a couple layers of bismuth and hit it with some, AC current. And I was getting some amazing spikes off of this. I was putting in about 360 volts, and it was peaking up to anywhere from 1,300 to 1,900 volts. And I'm like, what's going on here, man? But the weird thing about the whole deal, and I need to put a different meter on there, an analog meter on there, to find out what's going on, because the when it was peaking up to 1,900 volts, it should have had some sort of power out that, would have basically either shot off a spark or laid me out when I touched it. But I could literally hold both ends of the secondary and wasn't even getting so much as a shock. But that meter was going insane. So I'm trying to figure out what in the heck was going on there, whether I was sending a frequency in that was just disrupting the voltmeter or what. But either way, it was ranging anywhere from at the lowest 700 volts and at the highest about 1900 volts. And that was the field bouncing off of each end of the bismuth on each end of the coil, if you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So it was getting, the bismuth won't block out a magnetic field, but it has potential to redirect it.
Yeah.
And so it was actually redirecting back into itself and giving me these huge spikes of electricity. I just thought I'd kind of throw that out there.
Yeah, no, well, instead of creating an expanding magnetic field, maybe you've contained it. You've contained all those lines of force in a small area, and then when you collapse it, they have less distance to travel inward when they're collapsing. I mean, is that viable?
Yeah, well, I think they were actually punching into each other. You know, because the AC is going to be going back and forth, right? And when that field, if you can picture it like in the floor of your house and the roof of your house, and you're putting high voltage AC into the bottom, and the wave goes all the way up, bounces off the roof, and comes back down. Well, when it bounces off the roof, and as it's coming back down, you got another wave coming in, and they're slamming into each other. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Almost like the boy on the swing effect that we were talking about.
It's a resonant resonant frequency, but I honestly, knowing what been explained to me over the time about how bismuth actually reacts with a magnetic field, I'm wondering if you're not compressing a magnetic field in a smaller space so that, as I said, when it collapses, those lines of force get broken a lot more quickly in shorter pulses.
Well, it's highly possible, and I would love to have somebody, you know, take that deal. I'll have to rewind the coils because...
Throw it on the video.
Yeah.
Throw a video up what you're doing.
Yeah.
I'll have to rewind the coils
maybe
on there.
Well, give us some diagrams, too, to work with for what we can't see, you know, in
yeah.
the video. So we know how you constructed what you made.
Yeah.
I would definitely like to have some more bismuth, so...
Anyway, yeah.
One of the first things I'm going to have to latch on to is a couple hundred pounds of that stuff.
Yeah, well, ask around your friends. You might find someone who might have a stash of it.
It's an anomaly.
I'll help you out a bit cheaper.
It's an anomaly well worth looking into.
Well, I've got this patent up here. How about you there, Larry?
Yeah, that B-coil concentrates the charge coming out of the P-coil on top. And the upper collector coil.
Hang on, I'm not seeing a P.
The very
you're talking about the top load, right?
Yeah, the top load.
No, I'm looking way down further than that, but yep.
Yeah, that goes down into the B coil, which goes down into the pancake coil.
No. Now look carefully. Where do you see the pancake coil, Larry?
C.
That's not a pancake coil.
What is it?
Those turns are wrapped one on top of the other, not side by side.
It's another coil down there.
There's two coils tucked in there. One's of a rather large gauge, that's the C coil on the outside, then the A coil on the inside is of a much smaller diameter.
And then, that's secondary, C is primary, A is secondary.
Then from the top,
now
the connection between A coil and B coil isn't a magnetic connection. You can actually see the wire leave the top of... You can actually see it leave the top of the secondary coil and then continue in and become coil B off the same wire the coil A was made from.
Right.
Now,
another circuit.
Apart from maybe... I am going to take what Tesla drew to some point of gospel because the man did do a fairly detailed job in everything he did, so I'm betting you might even find half-ass ratios hidden in here, but that's for another day's testing. There's all but one winding sitting in cooey of the top of that coil, the top of the primary and secondary. So what does that make B coil?
That's what I said. The B looks like it's just a compressor. The actual transference of the voltage from C to B and A only happens in A, but it has to pass through B. So because of the exceptionally long wind, the more... Basically, when you run a voltage through a coil, as it passes through the first coil, it's generating a magnetic field. Mm-hmm. So the next coil is picking up a charge from that. And when the voltage passes through coil 2 of B,
but
the voltage is following in the first coil is now being compressed from the magnetic field that coil number 2 is producing. And this keeps stacking to 3, 4, 5, 6, all the way up to what is that, like 27, 28 coils on there in B?
Yeah. B magnifies. Yeah, we had them written down somewhere. We even had Catherine and Mitko work on the sums to work out all the ratios we wanted.
Right. Well, what that's doing when you run voltage through a coil that's wrapped tightly together like that is...
Yeah, I understand how the coil itself works, but it's placement. It's placement
arrangement here. It has a different function. It's basically a resistor.
Yeah,
it's a giant
joule.
Okay, let me give it to you in water terms. Okay,
down here at A,
you're pumping all this water into there, and in B, is basically just a continuation of the hose that the water's running through, but the hose keeps getting smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller until when it gets to the other end, instead of the water flow that was coming in at the bottom where it might shoot out like 4 or 5 inches and drop, it's going to shoot out like a stream that'll cut through a piece of stone.
So essentially what he's using that That's one it. For is to build up pressure.
Yeah, B is a magnifying coil, and A is where it switches.
Well,
that's it. I think I'm ready to build I think I'm ready to build Wardenclyffe.
Right on.
Right, now who wants to give me the funding?
Wardenclyffe is simply a pyramid.
I'm just wondering if I don't have the film budget to get funding for such a project like this. Just saying.
Anyway, back to
the... Random mad science fact of the day, because we've noticed a correlation in fraudsters and movie skills. Well, let's be honest, you know, you've got to be able to produce a decent, catchy, 3-minute-long video to get $100,000 these days for doing absolutely no research once you get the money.
Well, no, I've watched somebody with decent video skills that didn't have...
We've both watched
Right, they didn't have everything figured out on how to properly...
But okay, let's just stick to what I'm saying, though. Hear me out.
You need
we
sparks.
Have noticed,
you got sparks.
We have That's noticed that there's we have noticed that there is this correlation going on, though. Alright? Mm-hmm. Now, random mad science fact of the day. Who knew that John Hutchinson's main skill on his LinkedIn profile was filmmaking?
Not me.
Well, just thought I'd mention it. Just thought I would.
Well, I'm telling you though, Teslatronics pulled what he pulled on Jim Bluer because he put out videos with lots of sparks.
People love shinies, of course. Even if it's going to burn down their house and block the local fire trucks, you know, communication signal. And
I don't know. I don't know.
Them losing all of their house, like.
I don't know if you're saying it, but I can't.
No. I'm saying you need sparks though for your video to get people's interest and catch their attention.
I don't know if you're saying it, but I can't totally discount John's work because of some of the things that I've seen myself.
No. I'm not saying anything.
What he's saying is he got funding and got recognition because of, you know, his video.
Oh, I didn't even say that. I just am pointing out.
Just
pointing out that there is a correlation that exists, and I noticed something about someone who people have questioned for a long time.
Okay, well, either way,
it's my job to point these facts out, guys. Come on.
Well, the only reason why I brought that other coil in there, the one that you guys talked about, the free energy one on there, is because it's another knucklehead out there doing, you know, the monkey business. Anyway, somebody had... I had put a comment in there, and I told them... I just simply wrote nope, you know, because it was stupid, you know. It was obviously not free energy, and it wasn't even real, for that matter. But... I hadn't done any research into how he was cheating the system there, and another person come on there and started. Well, I looked at all your videos, and I didn't see any replication of it. And I said, "All right, well, I accept your challenge. I'll put the Dream Team on it." And within that day, you guys give me that link, and I posted back to him that it was a fake, you know, and sent him that link right there. But that was what that...
Yeah, Green Power Science busted that one.
Yeah, that's what that purpose was, because he was... Yeah. He was drilling out magnets and putting in hidden batteries in the system.
Dan Rojas is the name you're looking for there, so honest. Another good bloke.
Yeah, that guy does a lot of good work, man.
Yep. I'll give kudos to both him and Rimstar.org. They both deserve a good pat on the back, and that's not to discount any of you others out there. Don't worry, your day will come. We're all
well. I would love to get those guys on this show, and I would love to get all of us into one freaking building at one time to build something, because Man, I'm telling you, we got all the knowledge that's necessary to build the machine that's in my head, and I know it's probably in your guys' head, too.
You better ox, Dan, because I don't think anyone at the gay crew is my friend anymore.
Man. Well, either way, there's some YouTube channels out there, some really small YouTube channels that have done some really good work, and I think that these guys should have a whole lot more subscribers than what they've got, because there's a lot of brilliant minds out there going to waste, man.
I think all this money that just keeps getting blown away on crappy research should actually be, you know, I don't know.
Rechanneled.
Is there something I'm actually missing? Because I am kind of disgruntled by the situation that I look upon, you know. Here's us, the guys who do the real research, and we'll point out the other real researchers, and likewise those fellas that do the same for us. Alright? We've got the group. We know who the core components are. Yet, investors just buzz on by us like we're not even, you know, bones are picking, mate, you know, like, is there something I'm missing? Like, what's the showman.
We do not have the proper advertising.
Well, I think what the deal is, man, I've noticed this too. The mainstream media here recently has gotten more conspiratorial, you know. Back in the day, they used to call everybody tinfoil hat wearing conspiracy nuts. And
we're in mine right now.
And they're also doing the prepping deal. They got advertisements on their shows now where you can buy food for disaster areas. Well, there's a lot of money in that. Keep everybody scared, sell a lot of food, sell a lot of this and that. In the alternative community, I've also noticed a trend that instead of like us trying to come out and just put this information out there on the table, once it's done, it's done. You know what I'm saying? But in the meantime, they can make a lot of money suckering people into advertisement and stuff like that instead of giving anybody anything. We've already given people hundreds of solutions and ideas. If they really used all the information that we've provided for them, they could literally go out and build these devices, you know. We put it on the table. And so maybe the reason why we're not getting the funding is because we're putting too much on the table. And, you know, when you talk about investment, they want some sort of return for their investment. And if we're going to tell everybody how to make it before we actually get to that point where they can patent it and run off with the idea.
Yeah, but not everyone's like that, mate. And they're really right. Not. Like, and I know a particular person, like, very specifically that I'm thinking of, that if they were in a better position at the moment, we would be right. Unfortunately, that's not the case. And so that just isn't going to happen.
There's an awful lot that's wrong out there right now, too.
These people
get focused on one thing or another because it's closer to them at the moment, so they never really see what we're doing over here. So, I mean, it's all a matter of timing. And when the time is right, it's going to change.
Well, I got all these parts, man. I got all these parts to the Holy Grail.
We all know I'm not giving up.
I got all
that's,
these.
That's a guarantee.
I got all
the
these.
The newbies out there, you see these magnet motors and try to make them, and they don't work because they don't have the battery hidden in them. Yep. And they say, well, free energy is garbage. It doesn't work.
Yep. And then they don't even, you know, bother to delve into it any further. They feel disgruntled. They feel let down. They feel cheated. Once you feel cheated, you're not coming back.
It's like that QEG.
I am ready to build the device that everybody's looking for. I got it in my head. I'm ready to build it. All I need is the other pieces of the crew, you know. If you're going to go build a house, you need a roofer, you need a plumber, you need a carpenter, and
that's exactly what we all bring. We all bring a separate skill. I mean, we've got our chemical engineer over here, Thomas.
Yeah.
We've got our coil mathematician over there amongst many other electronical skills. We've got Larry. And you've got you and me who dream up the most wildest crap that no one will build, but these two will build it for us, and I know a couple other guys will help too, so hey.
Well,
we're a win, brother. We just, as and this gets spoken about while you're not around, brother. like Thomas and I are both actively trying, like with our cryptocurrency maneuvers, we are actively trying to secure the funds to put us all in one place. You know, I mean, we realise it's $1 million venture. You know, no one's shying away from that, from that number.
Speaking of $1 million venture, let me tell you a bit of this conversation that I had with a specific individual, and hopefully it comes to pass, but I'll just put it out there.
Nora.
The guy is working on a $65 million deal that has to do with automotive.
Okay.
He specifically told me that if everything works out, because he's been watching all of us, he said that if everything works out, that he would put $1 million into our pocket for our research.
Well, I certainly hope everything works out for this gentleman.
Well, so
thank you, unnamed assailant.
You'll meet him soon enough. Trust me.
I was saying, I'd hope it works out for him, whether he was going to give us money or not.
Well, you'll
it's
meet.
Always people succeed at what they're trying to do.
You guys will meet him soon enough. But in the meantime, I'm just saying that the opportunity's out there. To me, it's just a patience kind of thing. You know,
yeah.
I'm not wanting to reach out and
been that game since the beginning, man.
I'm not wanting to reach out and ask for money, but I do want to get these doggone devices literally built. I mean, because I know they'll work, and I want to put something on the table that will drop the jaw of every single individual out there that is literally saying that free energy is not possible, because there's a big misnomer out there as opposed to free energy, zero-point energy, or whatever the heck you want to call it. When I talk about free energy, I am not talking about getting out more than I'm putting in. I'm actually trying to work within the laws of physics to some extent, even though I don't agree with them. What I'm talking about doing... is taking everything that we do know and putting it all into one device, to where each one of these anomalies that are occurring in all these separate alternative energy devices are working in conjunction with each other, just like a fine-tuned Swiss watch, if you understand what I'm saying. So we're not trying to take out more than is already around us. I mean, we're surrounded in energy. We're just in a stone age, and we don't know how to use it right. I mean, the anomalies, like when I'm talking about punching up the two coils with the bismuth and getting spikes on there, you know, there's something going on there. And the static motor.
And another huge thing for researchers to realize, too, is the equipment that they're playing around with. You know, their digital multimeters and all the rest of it. I will bet both of what sit in my Y-fronts that is not going to measure what you're trying to measure. You seriously, like, start going back to pithballs and you know, electroscopes.
Yeah.
Start trying to find energy in its purest form. Start looking for it in other ways.
Well, that's like, why I like plasma.
I think we should all own an electroscope and a set of pithballs, to be quite honest.
I'd sit next to
all of our projects while we work on them. Just when we see that little tick and we go, what the hell?
That goes with the whole concept of advancing from that technology, too. I mean, like I said, the idea I had for making the pulse generator using an electroscope, so that when the electroscope is charged, it grounds itself out and then starts the charge process all over again.
I would also like to have a radiometer.
So simple, you can build it, too, you know.
I'd like to have a radiometer and a deal to actually test the RPMs on there. Because I got a good feeling that there's a lot more going on around these coils and the plasma buildup that meets the eye. And so if we had what Thomas was talking about going on there, you could actually, if you wired that right, use that to run into an oscilloscope, use that for some measurements as well.
Mm-hmm.
But,
anyway,
the whole deal is I'm getting impatient because I know these devices will work. My skills as far as getting things to be so precise that they're not off balance and, you know, everything put together with junk, you know, it's holding me back. And with what you guys got, with what I got, and some of these other researchers that are coming on board, some of these guys have already solved some big deals, and some of them are sitting off to the side trying to get them patented because they, you know, want to get rich, obviously. And
well, it was nice knowing them, I'll say that much.
Yeah, but I think that with what we've got alone, we've already got the knowledge that we need. And, you know, if we had a good glass blower and somebody who knew some vacuum and, you know, Thomas and chemistry, and then I've got some friends that are working on nanotechnology and all that kind of stuff, nano coatings for different types of metals to make them either more conductive or picking up more radiant energy, however you look at it. You put all these devices together with everything that we've got, and you've got something going on. I put a video in the chat room of a pump, and I know that's an old video, and it doesn't really look all that doggone impressive, but if you think past what you're looking at, this is the key in alternative energy. When you look at a device and you think past it, that's what we all do here. You know, we look at the potential of what this could do if you perfected it more. Think about that pump system, the way that it spiraled around, and as it's going around, and it's actually using the water of the creek itself for the initial spin. That's actually getting the pump to turn.
Might have to explain that to our listeners a little bit so they fully understand what you're talking about there, though.
Well, anyway, the guy's got a water wheel.
The way the magnetic field operates as well.
He's got a water wheel going on. It's like a big old paddle wheel, like you'd see on an old paddle boat. You know, steamboat or something like that. And and essentially, as the creek is turning the wheel, on the side of the wheel, it has hoses on the side of the wheel that are all coiled up from the inside all the way to the outer diameter of it, and then it has an opening at the end. And so as this thing is spinning around, it picks up water out of the creek and then circulates that water through the hose. Yeah, corkscrews it around. And he's only got one on one side. What he should have is another one in the opposite direction going on the opposite side where it's picking up dual amounts of water going on, you know. And so anyway, he's able to pump a lot of water using just the power of the creek alone and put it up the hill. He's putting a pretty good distance away from where he's actually pumping the water out of the creek. There's absolutely no electricity involved. It's just what nature has already provided, the constantly running stream. He's pumping water uphill. Now, in my way of looking at this thing, I don't just see a water pump. You throw a Van de Graaff on the side of that thing, and maybe even a Lord Kelvin generator to where you pump the water up to a pretty height, as much height as you can, as far as before you're going to drain it off into your field or whatever. Now you not only have the Wimshurst going on the side, but you got water pumping on the side, and you've also got the Lord Kelvin generator as the water is falling down, creating a static charge. So you've got a lot of things going on. So
you just don't like waste energy, do you, Shazis?
No, I don't.
You want to get a couple of thermocouples in amongst them bearings there, dude? I don't want you wasting no heat.
Well, and there's also other potentials. We've talked about the Wimshurst. We've talked about the Van de Graaff. We talked about the Lord Kelvin generator. You could actually use a similar style of Mighty Wind Turbine designed for generating. And instead of putting it under load, shoot it across the spark gap into some capacitor banks. You could actually, at some point, get the capacitors to electrically assist an electric motor on that deal to help turn it even farther. You see where I'm coming from?
Yep.
So this is why I put this particular video out. Number one, you're pumping water without electricity. That's a feat in itself. I mean, there's a lot of different ways to do it, but that's pretty good. But instead of just stopping there, put some energy generation to that thing. Get a capacitor bank to charge up to the point where it's actually helping an electric motor. See, the electric motor may not by itself be able to start that wheel to turning. However, it's already turning because of the water. And so now you don't have to have a lot of energy in order to assist it. So if you just got electric motor working at maybe even only a quarter of its normal capacity as far as speed-wise, you still have energy going in there to help assist that thing spinning around. And at some point, you know, using with gravity, it's going to get going a little bit faster. You see what I'm saying? So, one idea that could be overlooked that added to is what I'm talking about, taking all these technologies, putting them together into one working device with already proven technology, some of which you can already buy off the store shelves. Throw a little solar panel over there and some battery banks, and you got even more energy going on. You could take that one entire system and step that energy up to the point where you could literally run your doggone house, man.
Mm-hmm.
And all you did was start off with the creek, the motion of the creek, and you just added to it more things that would produce energy. You know, the Van de Graaff, as that thing's turning around, you know, the outside of that wheel rubbing across the, some fur or something like that, you know, building up another static charge. So all of that energy being forced into whatever battery bank or capacitor bank you got going on, and, man, you see what I'm talking about? This is the difference between free energy and the so-called over-unity holy grail that everybody keeps looking for. They're bypassing it, man. They're trying, yeah. They're trying to get too high-tech with something that is just too simple.
I'm gonna be real to the point, like, you know, like I'm normally not or something. But over-unity and zero-point energy, crap.
Well, I didn't want
being able to take energy out of the environment, whole different ballgame. When you're trying to talk about closing the loop in a system, like completely closing it to the point where it will self-run in itself, no.
No, because nature always wants to balance itself out. Water always finds its own level.
That's right. It's like making a magnet motor. It will always find its sticky spots.
All we're talking about doing is tapping into it, maybe throwing nature off balance a little bit, and then recapturing the energy as nature balances it back out.
There's nothing wrong with upsetting Mother Nature so she slaps you really hard in the Tesla coil.
Well,
just what we do. Like...
Either way, you know, there's a big difference between alternative energy from zero point to free energy to over unity and all that. And this is why these guys drive me insane, because I guarantee you, while they're working on their stuff, we could walk in their lab, all of us together. We could assess the situation inside 15 minutes and either show them that it will work or it won't work, and then walk back out. We could prove it. And there's no doubt in my mind about it. It's just they're overlooking.
Like I said before, mate, if we had the film skills, we'd have the funding.
Well,
I mean, that's the thing, you know. My name, and I don't care what goes through anyone else's mind. It's none of my business. Although I generally make it my business, as we all know. But my name is worth a hell of a lot more than. Hey, you know, we could screw up just once, and we'd have all the research money we need. People will forgive us, because, you know, we know we're going to succeed. No, like, that's just not the way you play the game, man. So...
Now, being honest from the get-go is going to be the key, man.
Yeah.
Because...
Yeah, you know, that's where I get upset about, you know, all these posts you see. Like, I was watching one the other day. Now, I stand by what I said. I stated this is pure fact. There was an Obama video, right? And it was entitled "Obama Explains Why They Kill Innocent People." Right? And literally every 10 seconds through this video, even less, like every 4 or 5 seconds through this video, the person who made the video would pause the video, have their voiceover saying, see, that's what he means by this. That's what he means by this. By the end of the video, you'd only walked away hearing what you'd been told you had heard. Now, we all know I don't support tyrannical governments. In fact, I don't support government of any description. All right? So I certainly wasn't saying that Obama was in the right. Okay? The point of the fact is, I'm sure that this crap's going on. No drama. But deal with it honestly. You don't have to feed people lies as bad as they do to prove your point.
Well,
the only way we're going to prove our point is with integrity. I love that word. It's like my favorite word.
It's just the whole...
So many people don't have it. It's like rock salt of a wound, I think.
If people out there want the free energy, they need to support the real researchers out there instead of the knuckleheads. You know, we're not sending... send me $40 and I'll send you the plans and you build it and then you buy it and then you build it and it don't work and then you turn around and they tell them, no, well, you must have done something wrong. Did you do this? Or you did? You got to love your reactor kind of stuff, you know?
That's why I was telling someone last night whenever we were talking about how can we possibly not get keep from being branded a fraud. Sell it on eBay.
Yeah.
eBay is extremely tilted toward the buyer. So if you sell something that is even remotely a fraud, you will get fleeced by eBay.
Yep.
They will fillet you alive. So if we're doing it and we're succeeding and we're getting tons and tons of positive feedback on eBay, then, you know, that's the proof in the pudding right there. You don't have to worry about the world thinking that you're a fraud. You can't survive on eBay if you're a fraud.
Well, then let's get together.
Not as a seller, I'll say that.
Let's get together and troubleshoot and design and build a device of any type. It doesn't even have to be alternative energy related. Build them, sell them, and fund ourselves up until the point where, you know, we get some...
And let people know that we know what we're talking about when it comes to construction.
Yeah.
If you're building and selling something that works, then people are going to have a little more faith than you when you start talking about building something a little crazier sounding.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, how many people, whenever Nikola Tesla said he was going to do something, by the time he was, you know, in his 30s, people were like, you know, treat him like E.F. Hutton. You know, when he speaks, people listen, you know?
Yeah.
Well, I would like to get...
And it's because he proved himself repeatedly.
I would like to get a set of videos. I need to go back through all the videos that I've liked on my YouTube and Google Plus and all that, and somehow or another download these videos to put together a presentation so that everybody understands exactly what it is that I'm trying to explain when I talk about this.
Make sure you have permission.
Yeah, this specific type of motor, because man, I've seen it. I've seen all ever since I've even been in alternative energy. I've seen things like Stan Myers. We all know you, cultists. You know you can blow water up. We did it. You know.
Either get people's permission, or if we can't get a hold of them, or they're not willing to give permission, let's just get together and make our own video of the same topic.
Yeah, well,
not that hard.
That would work too.
And then they lose the chance of having a credit in your video.
Yeah, there you go. Because we can duplicate all their designs. That's not no problem. And,
most of this is duplication of other people's work anyway, you know?
The only thing I want these specific videos for is to show proof of concept on each individual anomaly that's going on and put the pieces of the puzzle together and say, look, you've seen this work, you've seen that work, this is what I intend to do with this. To put it all together in one working device that will function, and the potential of all these together is astronomical, man. I mean, think about it. Yeah, if you got an electric motor that is putting a massive amount of energy out, more than you're ever going to use, why couldn't you feed a lot of that back in?
Feed it back in or store it for...
Yeah, store it for, if you go stop at the stop sign, you know, and you need a boost, you know, most of the electric motors these days have a capacitor on there just for simple to get it started under a load.
Yep.
Other than that, there wouldn't be no capacitor on it.
Actually, they do that. It's called regenerative braking. Almost all of the buses in Japan are electric.
Yeah, but Shaziz is talking about a really refined version of that where it was, you know, charging as you drive.
Yeah. Imagine, right? If you got like boost cap, the really good capacitor banks, and you got it set off to the side, and as you're driving down the road, it's charging that up, and then you have to stop, and you come to the stop sign, and now your engine has to start under, your motor has to start under a load, and so, you got that stored energy that as soon as you put your foot on the gas pedal is going to discharge that capacitor bank down into that motor and give you that first boost to get you rolling. You see what I'm saying?
I'm wondering how many people would tune in and watch a TV show that basically looks and feels like something, say, like Star Trek, but the people who are doing research and the work that's going on, the problems that they're solving or they're being presented with, were real problems.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Real people.
I bet a lot of people
basically would. Like creating Star Trek as a reality TV show.
You remember Junkyard Wars, right?
Mm-hmm.
That was a popular show.
And yeah, that's the idea. Is, you know, except that the place that they're living and the setting and everything is set up so that it feels a little more, I don't know, a little more sci-fi.
Yeah.
And then you, like I said, you know, real research, though. Real equipment, not, you know, just the, here's a junkyard with some junk in it. You can, you know, muck about with that. No, they actually have tools to work with and whatnot and resources to, you know, to actually tackle these problems.
Well, it's funny because...
without it being, maybe you have it or maybe you don't type of thing with the, you know, the junkyard thing.
It's funny because as I'm listening to you talk and I'm thinking about Star Trek... one of the things that people overlooked a long time ago, see, back in the old Star Trek set, they actually had somebody behind the scene who would slide the door open every time somebody came to it.
That's gold.
Yeah. but either way...
I didn't go fast enough.
Yeah. Either way, that technology, I mean, you see it every time you go to store. People walk in and out. The door automatically opens for you, you know. It's not... It was right there all along. They showed it, you know. And so when you walk up to the door in the Star Trek ship, I mean... any store. The door is automatically open for you.
Walmart is using the technology that you're thinking of, though, because it actually has an eye.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
In front of it, and it sees you and moves opens the door as you walk up to the door. The old technology that most of the other, the older stores are still using, they have a platform you stand on, and if you're not standing on it or you don't weigh enough, it doesn't set it off.
Yeah, but I'm talking about the modern day version is where the eye sees you, all right? And you could actually take that eye out. You could have a field there because we all know that the human body will couple with a field, and you disrupt that field and the door opens, you know?
Yep.
So
same thing with very large touchscreens. You know, not that hard to build those.
Either way, it's, you're looking at it in the movie. We're seeing it in real life, and people are looking at you like you're crazy because you're talking about space age stuff. This isn't. None of this is space age. A lot of it's been around all the way back to the Mercury Arc rectifier, and even further back than that. You know.
Well.
That's a show.
Yeah, that's not true. It is space age, but the problem they're missing is that we are in the space age. We went to the moon. Okay, it doesn't seem like it's
it's all about perspective, isn't it? Really?
Yeah, but we've already done it. We are out of the nuclear age, and we have been in the space age for quite a while.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
it's just we're being sold junk from China.
I'm disgruntled.
And reality TV show about Honey Boo Boo that basically is dulling everything down and making it seem like we're, you know, it's basically keeping everybody mired in the muck.
I'm here in the space age, and I am disgruntled.
Yeah, where's my bloody hoverboard?
Hey, the heck with the hoverboard? Where's my flying car?
Yeah.
Oh, my DeLorean time machine, man. I grew up being so let down by Hollywood, man.
Well, I was going to say, I'm not let down by Hollywood because I don't expect Hollywood to produce anything. But Paul Muller told us that by 2000 we were going to have, 20,000 flying cars in people's driveways. Where are they? It's 2014. You're 14 years behind, Paul.
Yeah.
Get with the program.
That's what I'm talking about. I'm disgruntled about the whole mess. See, we should have been flying around in cars, you know, everything.
If everyone feels like being disgruntled tonight, go and look up Royal Raymond Rife.
Yeah.
And research what a high-frequency energy device of his was capable of doing. And we're not going to tell the listeners. They need to go out and research this one. Royal Raymond
Rife. It's homework time. It's homework time.
Yeah,
like Fight Club.
I was watching some YouTube tips today, and it spoke about engaging with your audience. So I'm engaging with our audience. Does it feel a little gay, guys? Yeah.
Can't we all just get along, man? For Pete's sake.
It's actually a rife.org.
Yeah, screw that. Yeah, don't go looking into none of the actual things that are getting made, you know, and stamped with his name on it. Actually look up the wiki post for the man, Dr. Royal Raymond Rife, and discover for yourself what was taken away from every single person's health in this great land of ours, the Earth.
Anyway, what did you say we all go to a music break?
I think that's a perfect time.
I need more coffee.
Do you?
Yeah.
Hang on a tick. You need to... Yeah, man. Chuck that in the queue for us.
Oh, man, you got me downloading right in the middle of the broadcast.
Yeah, of course I do.
Hope it don't short out.
Nah, you'll be fine.
Start. Yeah, I was gonna say you can start with the song you got on hand, and then
yeah, exactly. Just
pop
let that trickle through.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, pop that in next.
That'll work.
It shouldn't take too long to download.
Yeah. We should be
six little megabytes. We're in the space age.
Yeah, man. Space age.
Six megabytes
space
ain't nothing.
Age, where it feels like I'm on dial up when I've got a 1.5 megabit connection in Roxby.
Whee.
That's not true, honestly. It was really crap about a week ago. I was only getting about 100 kilobyte push.
All right. Well, everybody, stay tuned. You're listening to Mad Science. We'll be back after a short music break.
Oh, crap.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
Back.
Look at me now. there's just an empty space, and there's nothing left here to remind me, just the memory of your face. Take a look at me now, there's just an empty space, and you coming back to me is against the odds. That's what I've got to face. I wish I could just make you turn around, turn around and see me cry. There's so much I need to say to you, so many reasons why. You're the only one who really knew me. Take a look at me now, there's just an empty space, and there's nothing left here to remind me, just a memory of your face. Take a look at me now, there's just an empty space. But to wait for you is all I can do, and that's what I've got. Standing here, you coming back to me is against the odds. It's a chance I've got to take. Take a look at me now.
Get out the shit.
Never mind that.
Why, that's me! Look at me! I'm an old man!
I'm Dr. Emmett Brown. I'm standing here on the parking lot at...
Thank God I still got my hair! October 26th. And what on earth is this thing I'm wearing?
Well, this is a radiation suit.
Radiation suit? Of course. Because of all the fallout from the atomic wars. This is truly amazing. A portable television studio. No wonder your president has to be an actor. He's got to look good on television.
Whoa, this is it. This is the part coming up, Doc.
No. This sucker's electrical. But I need a nuclear reaction to generate the 1.21 gigawatts of electricity.
What did I just say?
The flux capacitor stores... This sucker's electrical. But I need a nuclear reaction to generate the 1.21 gigawatts of electricity.
1.21 gigawatts! 1.21 gigawatts! Great Scott! What the hell is a gigawatt? How could I have been so careless? 1.21 gigawatts! Tom, how am I going to generate that kind of power? It can't be done, can it?
But all we need is a little plutonium.
Oh, I'm sure that in 1985, plutonium is available in every corner drugstore, but in 1955, it's a little hard to come by. Marty, I'm sorry, but I'm afraid you're stuck here.
Oh, Doc, stuck here? I can't be stuck here. I got a wife in 1985. I got a girl.
Is she pretty?
Oh, she's beautiful. She's crazy about me. Look at this. Look what she wrote here, Doc. I mean... That says it all. Doc, you're my only hope.
Marty, I'm sorry, but the only power source capable of generating 1.21 gigawatts of electricity is a bolt of lightning.
What'd you say?
A bolt of lightning. Unfortunately, you never know when or where it's ever going to strike.
We do now.
This is it. This is the answer. It says here that a bolt of lightning is going to strike the clock tower precisely 10:04 p.m. next Saturday night. If we could somehow harness this lightning, channel it into the flux capacitor, it just might work. Next Saturday night, we're sending you back to the future.
Thank you.
everybody. You're listening to Mad Science. So, do we still got you guys on Skype there?
You most certainly do, brother.
All right. Well, we had a little hiccup there for a second.
Kind of fell off the airwaves there, didn't you?
Yeah. It's like this...
It's the internet for you, though, isn't it? I mean, we can control 90%, 95% of it, but then there's a certain point where... Wind blows the wrong way on a power pole, or you know, however it goes, and you lose your connection.
Well,
there,
my ISP must have sold out to Honest Abe or something like that.
I think they might have. My only regret there is you happened to cut young Melody Shadows cover track off there that we were playing. But,
well, we could throw that back up on there. If you like.
You can do that. I actually really enjoy listening to her sing.
Well, tell everybody who that is.
Okay, so, as you know, I stumble upon these artists from time to time, and I was doing my stroll of the internet, per se, and I came across this young lady, Melody Shadows, and when I started listening to her songs there, which... currently are all only covers, but she's looking at expanding that, and hopefully we can give her a hand there.
I could write some lyrics for her.
Sorry?
I could write some lyrics for her.
Do you know what, Chaziz? I was talking about this with Mitko today, and after hearing her sing, do you know what song I think she would absolutely smash?
Which one?
I Can Dream.
Oh, that'd be nice. Send her a soundtrack of it.
All right.
Cool. Awesome. Well, with that said, we'll go ahead and replay this tune in case it got cut off.
And just so people can find her, I'll throw her Facebook out there. It's Melody Shadows, and the O's are noughts in both those words. So it's M-E-L. 0-D-Y and Shadows S-H-A-D 0-W-Z.
Alright, cool. Stay tuned. We're going to replay her song there.
How can I just let you walk away? Just let you leave without a trace? When I stand here taking every breath of you, ooh, you're the only one who really knew me at all. How can you just walk away from me when all I can do is watch you leave? Cause we shared the laughter and the pain and even shed the tears. You're the only one who really knew me alone. So take a look at me now. There's just an empty space, and there's nothing left here to remind me, just the memory of your face. Take a look at me now. Just an empty space, and you coming back to me is against the odds. That's what I've got to face. I wish I could just make you turn around, turn around and see me cry. There's so much I need to say to you, so many reasons why. You're the only one who really knew me and I. Take a look at me now. There's just an empty space, and there's nothing left here to remind me of the memory of your face. Take a look at me now. get me now.
Crap. Operator, give me the number for 911.
Okay, everybody, we're back. Hey, she did a wonderful job with that, man.
Told you, dude. The girl's got a phenomenal voice, and a couple of the really early postings on her Facebook wall, on the Facebook community page there for her. If you go through and check them out, a few of them are actually videos. You can actually watch her. Cool. While she's singing, and she's using a reasonable quality mic. That's about all the setup I can see. But it's being fed into a computer system, so no real different to the kind of setup that we're used to. And yeah, man, to watch that girl sing, you'll see there's a real passion there, a real fire for wanting to sing and take on this direction. So. Yeah, I'd actually really like to see her succeed, given, you know, I'm a great connoisseur of music, as you all know. I love my music. It's kind of, you know, part of my soul is as much as anything else of me, you know. So, you know, if I come across something, and come on, you guys, I'm a real bastard when it comes to picking vocals. I nitpick something shocking, so... You know, they hate me in the house. I'm not allowed to watch The Voice with them or any of those singing programs. Because apparently no one's good enough for Cody. There's people that are good enough. They've just got to be damn good.
Well, either way, you know, if she gets some originals or even wants to do some of mine, that's cool. We'll put them up.
Well, that's what I was... Yeah, that was my first thought. I've been thinking about it today and... talking about it with a couple of the guys, and just things that, you know, I can access and I can help, you know. So
for those folks out there that are into their own, have their own garage band or have their own music, or maybe even want to just read some poetry or something like that, send me an MP3 at shazizradio@yahoo.com and I'll put it up here on air so everybody can have a chance to hear you. So, you know, we don't just do mad science here. We do all kinds of alternative energy and alternative everything. So, with that said, 100% you know,
community based, aren't we? Really, at the end of the day, there is nothing the community cannot approach us for and say, "Hey, look, this is what we're trying to do. We're not sure if you guys can even help. Is there anything you can, you know, do to help? Come to us, ask. You'd be surprised what we can manage to." And I'm not talking resources and money. You know, I mean, we've been down that road before, and it's, you know, it tends to end with fraudsters knocking on your door. So, not that we're opposed to, you know, helping out dire, desperate situations, but yeah, I mean, you've got a very good brains trust here of people who are, you know, quite adaptive with computers, and you know, we are able to pull our skills together to do a lot of things. So. Yeah, you know, just if anyone in the community has an issue and they need help, you know, I was playing mediator on YouTube there a couple of weeks ago between a couple of our guys and a couple other guys. You know, this is what we do.
Well, anyway, back on the alternative energy deal, you know, there's all kinds of potentials out there in the world of things going wrong, but. You know, if things do go wrong and you ain't got no idea how electricity works, then you might just be find yourself without electricity. And so go back and look at all these videos that we keep talking about on YouTube and download them and some how-tos and all that kind of stuff. And you might be surprised what you come up with that they'll stick in your head. And then if worst case scenario, you at least know how to build a generator, a little solar panel or something like that, or pump some water. And that's what we do this all for. And we are looking for the holy grail of free energy device, but we're talking a whole different type of free energy than a lot of these knuckleheads out there trying to pull a fast one on somebody. We're not about that. But I think I want to see all of us get together and get into one lab and actually build these devices and prove them to the world once and for all. You know, slide them right underneath the nose of the power company. That's what I'm looking for, man. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm totally with you there, Shaziz. I'll slide them the finger, but, I'm hanging my Tesla coil off the end of it while I wave at them with it and going, what? You want one now? Oh, I wasn't good enough to invest in, but, what?
Well, I'm just,
$3 million each for power company executives.
I'm getting weird.
That's what I was saying before, man. If we're gonna play their game, go ahead and get the patent and then put out a public document. It's open source for anybody who wants to use it for themselves and wants to do, like, you know, local building. But, you know, if you're GE or, you know, one of the other major companies that didn't believe in us or was basically, you know, refusing to give people help that they needed and now you want it, yeah, you got to pay. You got to pay well. You know,
yeah. I just want to make sure that
pockets, because you know there's plenty of people we can basically give that money to once you give it to us for using our patented technology. You know,
I just want to make sure that the average Joe benefits from this whole scenario, and it'll make it worth my while. You know, I'm not looking to get rich. If I wanted to be rich, I could have sold out years ago, but that's not what I'm into. I'm into basically sticking it to the power company because, you know, the grudge that I hold with them for the way that they treat people. Yeah, exactly. The way they treat people is just sickening, you know. And there's so many different ways that they could have... The technology that is available these days, we should be so much further advanced than what we are, and we're not. And that's what mad science is all about, because I want my George Jetson car, man. For real. And I know it's possible.
Oh.
You know, heck.
If I do, I'm getting a chain wallet.
We can make all these devices where you don't have to get up and change the channel, but yet we can't make devices that are more efficient. Come on, man. Seriously. 5-disc CD changers where you sit on the couch eating your donuts, getting fat, and all you got to do is reach over and grab the remote and push a few buttons.
That's why you need a 5 CD changer, man. Yeah. Because you're eating so many, you know, Dunkin' Donuts and Krispy Kremes and your KFC and McDonald's, mate.
Well, guys,
you haven't walked to the DVD player often enough, obviously.
Yeah, do a little jogging in place on the way over and change the channel manually like the old days when you used to have to go slap the TV on the side of the head. That way it'll start working and move the little rabbit ears in and out.
Or you come home from school and Mum's been watching the other channel and you've got a dud bloody adjuster, so you've got to sit there and retune in the channel that you want to watch.
Yeah.
And you turn it the wrong way to start with and you don't realise till you get to the complete end of that cycle.
Yeah.
So then you start winding it all the way back the other way.
When you finally do get the channel, it's in and out, static.
But you went too fast.
I remember it's going straight past it.
Hey, I can remember back in the day, I had some real turds for TVs, man. Some of them looked like they were dropped out of the back of a truck. And you know, a lot of times they were black and white TVs. And every once in a while it would roll and you'd have to go over there and hit the vertical and horizontal hold and try to get it to stop rolling or smack it on the side and, you know, put the aluminum foil.
It gets a bit old on the top and it gets a little old. And that's when you start beating it with your fist on the side just to get that connection to make again.
Man, there was a lot of
cabinet model round.
There was a lot of TV kung fu going on back in them days. Y'all got favorite so Batman show?
Kung fu fighting.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Man. Anyway, we're getting down to the wire, guys. But once again, it's been a fascinating show. I'm gonna look to see if I can't find kung fu fighting. I did too.
Kung fu fighting.
That's what we're gonna leave up out of here with is kung fu fighting.
It's fast as lightning.
It was a little bit frightening.
All right, don't kill it, cultist.
He's driving them away.
Do you know what? Someone needs to get on the Truthful Irish, okay, and ask him for a copy. I was thinking about this today while I was writing an email, actually. I had not thought of this for at least a year that it's been since we screwed around and did it. There is a rendition of Truthful Irish and myself doing karaoke back on TNS.
Cool. Can't wait to hear it, man.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to get slightly liquored up, but...
Oh, you will, man. You are certainly going to need liquor.
You're saying you're going to need a little liquid courage?
Yeah.
You will, man. Especially
I got to give Coltus credit, though. He was only on the drums for 5 minutes, and he already figured a bit of it out. So, you know, hey, man. There's a video out there.
Hey, do you know I've got this one photo of me, like, leaning forward with old mate's guitar there in my arm, and I had my hat on and my goggles on, like my steampunk goggles
on. Oh, yeah.
And I'm, like, leaning into the camera with a real mean face on me, and it just so happened that the cable's, like, not in the picture, and everyone always says to me, "Oh, dude, did you learn to play the guitar over there?" I'm like, no. But hey, I can sort of play the drums now.
But we had a lot of fun, man. Anyway, go watch the video. Well, we're down to the wire, guys. Everybody listening tonight, or not Knights of Roundtable, stay tuned for the Knights of Roundtable tomorrow. But Hope Show's coming up next. It'll be a podcast. And because Beverly, she went to Wyoming with the girls to see the sights and all that kind of stuff. But she'll be back next week.
She's going to blow stuff up in the backyard because Mama's not going to be home to deal with him.
Yeah. And so join us on the Knights of the Round Table tomorrow, and stay tuned for more future Mad Science. The podcast for this show will be up there, and links to all of our YouTube channels is actually on my YouTube channel, so I can speed that up in a hurry by just saying go to Shaziz on YouTube, www.youtube.com/Shaziz, S-H-A-Z-I-Z-Z. Contact me on Skype. I'll get you in contact with all the rest of these guys, any of them that you want to talk to. So with that said, you guys got any thing you want to say before we peel up out of here?
Don't you everybody want to get on the table, boys, or
don't everybody jump to the back at once?
You know me, I don't really have a whole lot to say. Just, you know, with networking, man, we need to network together, work together, share skills, share resources that you've got laying around with each other. Let's, you know, get some of this stuff sorted. At least try. Don't be afraid to fail, you know.
Well, brother,
I'll sit around worrying about whether something will work or not, and you don't ever get around to actually giving it a try, you know it won't work, you know.
I'm in it to win it, so I'm right there with you. I'm in it to win it, and I'm sure that everybody else around here is too. So with that said, let's go ahead and get up on out of here with some Carl Douglas Kung Fu Fighting, because... Now, when you listen to this song...
I'm going to ruin your outro, because I've got to say something before we get up out of here.
Okay, hold on. But when you listen to this song, I want you to visualize all of us on this panel right here kicking the crud out of our antique TVs to try to get the TV to show right. All right. What were you going to say, Coltus?
All right. So, as most of you already know, the group is trying to collectively raise the funds for a 3D printer. This will be a communal 3D printer for use by all of the alternative / free energy community. Because, you know, we personally have found that it's a real bastard not to have something as useful as a 3D printer around, especially when wanting to manufacture out, you know, the precision parts we need for these static motors and all the rest of it. Now we're a quarter of the way there. We've got 15 days to go. So if people would like to head over to Pozible, pozible.com/print, and if you can help out, great. If you can't, simply just grab a link and start sharing away. That is, like, you know, if you're unable to help and you really wish you could, that, I swear to you, is like the biggest help. Exposure, getting us out there, because at the moment I can tell you there's been 100 people past the site. Like, in the big scheme of, you know, crowdfunding, that's not a lot of people, and most of them are just, you know, average Joe who can't help and just popped along to have a look anyway. So, cool. You know, effectively we've probably had, you know, 10 interested people and, you know, a couple of them have been able to help out and a few of them have shared links. We're really, really, really appreciative of everything that's happened so far, but we really do need more, and we do only have 15 days. You know, we can't ask for more time. That's how long we got. I actually spent a bit of time in communication with the site to get them to allow us to do this because they're a little bit sceptical of what we do.
Figure. How's that rendered video that I sent you coming along?
All right, guys, we got to roll.
We'll talk about that out, but yeah.
All right, we got to roll. So with that said, everyone out there, in honor of the mainstream media, get up and kick the crap out of your TV to Carl Douglas Kung Fu Fighting.
Everybody was kung fu fighting. Those kicks were fast as lightning. In fact, it was a